Oh, this morning I want to talk to you about overcoming fear. You know, everywhere we turn, there is fear. The commercials that we watch on TV talk about fear. Maybe you've seen the Allstate commercials with the character by the name of Mayhem. Have you guys seen those? Yeah. I'm going to tell you everything that could happen that's terrible in your life so you can buy Allstate. They're making a lot of money doing those commercials, by the way. Or it's the home security commercials, you know, where there's like the creepy dude peeking through the fence looking at the small children, and it's like you need to get a home security system in your life. You know, fear is everywhere. It's on the television. It's in our life. We live in fear about the future. We live in fear about our finances. We live in fear about our family and friends. You know, everywhere we turn, there are things to be afraid of. How do we deal with the problem of fear? Today, I want to introduce to you a fantastic and amazing character that's going to inspire you in overcoming fear in your life. But you know, fear is everywhere that we turn. Experts tell us that the average kid, by the time that they are 18 years old, have been told that they cannot do something 148,000 times. That's a lot of no's, isn't it? Behavioral experts tell us that about 77% of the thoughts in our minds are negative. And we have about 50,000 thoughts a day. So that's a lot of negativity that's going on right up here, isn't it? All the time. We wonder, why are we so afraid? I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're afraid of. I don't know what's happening in your life. But, man, God has some great words today, some great words of comfort and strength that are going to help us overcome the problem of fear. And really, it's not just a passing the emotion of fear, but it's really the spirit of fear. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy, he said, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." It's the spirit of fear. The spirit of fear is what consumes us. That's not like, oh, I'm a little apprehensive about that. No, the spirit of fear will swallow you up. It's when you can't sleep at night, you know, when you're freaking out, you don't know what to do. The spirit of fear. And listen, the spirit of fear is not of God and it is not from God. So how do we begin to combat that? In Judges chapters 6 and 7, we find the most unlikely hero. He was a man that was consumed by fear, but God is going to move him from a man consumed by fear to a man filled with faith. His name is Gideon. We find our character Gideon here in Judges chapter 6, and verse 2 kind of sets the stage for us here. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other eastern peoples invaded the country. So here's what's going on. In the book of Joshua, God has commanded the Israelites to go and to push all the Canaanite people out. They're to take the land of promise. And they did a lot of what God said, but they didn't do all of it. And God told them to drive out the Canaanite people because he knew inevitably that they would dominate the Israelites if they let them stay around. Fast forward 200 years, this is exactly what's happened. For 7 years, the Israelites have been completely run over. They're hiding in caves. They're starving to death. They're consumed by fear. They don't know what to do. They're crying out to God to deliver them, to do something. God, just do anything. You know, these guys are driving us crazy. Every time that they get some crops, you know, start to grow, the Midianites come in and wipe it out. Every time they get some livestock together, they come and kill the goats, you know. Killing Israelites, raping women, torturing children. I mean, this is bad stuff that's going on. And Gideon is hiding out, man, for his life here in Judges chapter 6, just hoping that he can make another day. And then the angel of the Lord shows up in verse 11. And oh my goodness, things get different. You know, when the angel of the Lord shows up, some different things start to shake. Look at this. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat down beneath the great tree in Ophrah. And that was before she had a network, okay? Which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. And Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and he said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." So here's Gideon, man, the guy's consumed by fear. He's hiding out. And you got to understand kind of the whole context. It may not sound weird to you that he's threshing wheat in a wine press, but a wine press was a place that was kind of hidden. It was kind of sunk down. You step on the grapes, they turn into juice, and the wine press is kind of a secluded place, right? Because you're trying to make wine. But threshing wheat is something that was normally done out in the open before everybody, because you need the wind to separate the chaff from the seed so you can make some bread, right? Make some food. So you would throw it into the air and the wind would blow it, and you'd have the oxen that would tread on it. And I mean, it was kind of a whole operation. Gideon is doing things the hard way. See, when you're consumed by fear, you have to work a lot harder to get a lot less done. And this is what's going on. Okay, and to make matters just a little bit more humorous, it's in that context, Gideon hiding for his life there in this wine press, that the angel of the Lord shows up. And what does he say? He addresses him as mighty hero, or another translation, mighty warrior. And Gideon, wouldn't you love to have seen the look on his face? He's kind of looking around. He's kind of like, who is the angel of the Lord talking to? Because I know he's not talking to me, because there is no mighty warrior in this. He's kind of looking around. Oh, my goodness. And I love this verse right here in verses 11 and 12, because it says that the angel of the Lord just kind of came and sat down. Just kind of relaxed, you know. Gideon, let's just talk turkey for a moment. Come over here. You are a mighty warrior. I love this. There is no panic in the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is not sweating profusely. He's not running up. He's not getting in Gideon's face. He just kind of reclines. He just kind of sits down. He's kind of like, yeah, I know the Israelites, you know, they're getting wiped out, but you know, you're a mighty warrior. And isn't it great to know that in heaven that God is not so worried about our problems? I mean, there is nothing that stresses God out. God doesn't look at the issues of your life and go, man, I don't know what to do with her. You know, I have no idea how to help him. I don't know what to do to get them out of this situation. And so the angel of the Lord just kind of shows up, and he just says to Gideon, he doesn't even make small talk. He says, you're a mighty warrior, and the Lord is with you. And Gideon is thinking, man, what in the world is going on? A mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. This angel of the Lord is talking to him like he's Vin Diesel. And Gideon looks at himself like Forrest Gump, man. Like Napoleon Dynamite, man. Like Beverly Hills Chihuahua. I mean, that's Gideon's self-perception. And you got to understand, the Israelites, they're the losing team. Okay, they're getting wiped out every day, every weekend, it seems like. I like to think of the Israelites in the beginning of the book of Judges kind of like the Oakland Raiders, okay? They're getting beaten up by everyone, okay? The Amalekites, the Midianites, the other eastern peoples, you know, it's kind of like the Broncos beat them, and the Chiefs beat them, and the San Diego Chargers beat them. You know what? Even the Dallas Cowboys are beating them, right? It's bad. And this angel says, Gideon, you are a mighty warrior. Now, here's why this is important. God sees potential in us that we do not see ourselves. And I want to talk to you about the three greatest areas of fear. The first is this, your past. God sees your potential, not your past. You know, every person here has a past. Sometimes we think, I could never do something great for God because I have a past. Sometimes we look at the history of our life and we see all the reasons that we should be discredited, and yet the Bible gives us a different story with this man named Gideon. Gideon is an unlikely hero. He's going to become the general of the army of Israel that's going to deliver them from the oppression of the Midianites. But he's been hiding in a wine press. Gideon has a past. He's been consumed by fear. And yet God sees something in him that's beautiful. God looks at the heart. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel that God saw something in King David when he was just a shepherd boy. And everybody else thought David was just merely one that tended the sheep. But it was David that stood on the field of battle when all of the other soldiers were afraid, that took on Goliath, who was like three or four times his size. God sees something in us that we do not see ourselves. God sees our potential. I believe every person that's in this room today has more potential than you think that you do. And notice why. Because he said, the Lord is with you. Now he gives him two words of instruction here. He says, you're a mighty hero and the Lord is with you. And you know, when Jesus Christ is in your life, the Lord is with you. And you know, you may go through some hard times and some difficulties, but you know, you can always come back to that foundation. The Lord is with me. Yeah, I know I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this month, but the Lord is with me. God sees our potential, not just our past. And Gideon is settled in. He's satisfied. Mediocrity is okay with him. It's kind of like, you know, I'm not thriving, but I'm surviving. You know, that's kind of the motto of Gideon's life. And yet God sees something in him that he does not see himself. And this is his response in verse 15. Check this out. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my family. In other words, I'm a nobody. I don't have connections. I don't have education. My mom and dad aren't the right people. I didn't grow up around those kind of people. I don't have money. You can just fill in the blank, all the list of excuses. Gideon's like, oh, no, I'm not a mighty warrior. You got the wrong dude. Who are you talking to? And he gives kind of this pushback to the angel of the Lord. You know, listen, if you're going to succeed in life and overcoming your problems, you have to understand who you are. You got to understand what your identity is, who you are. As long as you see yourself as a 98-pound weakling threshing wheat in a wine press, you will never see the potential that God has in you. Several years ago, some people started telling me that I look like Nick Lachey. You guys know who Nick Lachey is? I woke up one morning and I went into the bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I was like, man, I do. I look like Nick Lachey. I called Gina. I was like, Gina, come here. Come here. Look at this. I'm Nick Lachey. She was like, Ryan, you're good looking, but you're not Nick Lachey. 2 weeks later, we were eating dinner at TGI Fridays, and these girls that were servers, they were like whispering and pointing. They were pss, pss, pss. You know, I was kind of ignoring them. I got up and went to the bathroom as we finished our meal, and these girls came over to Gina, and they were like, we need to ask you a question. Are you eating dinner with Nick Lachey? Gina was like, you put them up to that. I was like, I was in the bathroom. Later, Gina said, does that make me Jessica Simpson? I was like, oh, honey, you're much more beautiful. And you're a whole lot smarter, by the way. Would that be weird if we showed up at Sunday services and we had a boy band that led worship? If we opened with a number of from 98 degrees, would that be a little strange? You have to know who you really are. You got to know who you are in life to succeed. In fact, I wanted to share this picture with you of me and Nick Lachey just to see what you guys thought. Okay, check this out. You guys see some similarities? This is about 10 years ago. My biceps were a little bit bigger back then, you know. Not all the same. Now, if I went around and started acting like Nick Lachey all the time, it would be a little strange. It would be a little weird, wouldn't it? Edge Church would be a little strange, a little weird. Because that's not who I am. Now, we may have some similarities, okay? Gideon Gideon is beginning to understand who he is. He's a mighty warrior, not some dude hanging on for dear life, hiding in a cave under a rock. God sees your potential, not your past. God sees things in you that nobody else sees, and the Lord is with you. Now, if you see yourself as inferior, you will never do something great for God. You will always live in fear. And a lot of people perceive themselves like Gideon. I'm a nobody. Self-loathing. Other people struggle with the other extreme. That's pride. And there's some problems that come with pride. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. In other words, God doesn't elevate people that are full of themselves. What we're talking about today is not pride, it's not self-loathing, it's Godfidence. It's confidence in the Lord. And if you're a Christian, you should be confident in the Lord. Now, some people may see your swagger and think you're a little bit prideful. But that's not for the Christian. That's not where our confidence comes from. Our confidence comes from the fact that the Lord is with us. And if the Lord is with us, then what are we afraid of? So God sees our potential, not our past. Here's the second thing. God sees possibilities, not problems. God sees possibilities, not problems. Now, Gideon, he's still working through this. In verse 13, he's going to push back a little bit. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the wonders of our ancestors that they told us about when they said, did the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and he said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? So Gideon says, now, God, if you're like so big and bad, I mean, like, where have you been? Where have you been at least the last 7 years? And maybe longer than that. And he starts to talk about the problems. And you notice the angel of the Lord doesn't even address the problems. He doesn't even address the question. You know, have you ever been asked a question and it was just so absurd and so much the wrong direction, you just didn't answer the question. You just told the person what they needed to know. I do that with my kids sometimes. You know, I'm like, no, quit talking about that. What you need to know is this. This is what the angel of the Lord does. He just says right here, am I not sending you? Am I not sending you? Now, the answer to the first question, the first problem, the past, is God's with you. The remedy for the second problem, the problems we face, is God is sending us. Am I not sending you? Gideon, if I'm sending you, why would I send you into battle to fail? Am I not sending you? And Gideon's like, whoa, what's going on here? Am I not sending you? Sometimes we see our problems, we forget that we have been sent by God. Listen, when you get discouraged, note the greatest comfort is to know that you're living in the will of God. That doesn't mean you're perfect all the time, but you have a sense that you're doing what God wants you to do. You know, when you're struggling in your marriage, it's great to know that the Lord has sent you. You know, if you've said I do at the altar to that person, then that's the will of God. And you need to stay in the game. Am I not sending you? And this is the angel's response to Gideon. Gideon, I know you got some problems in your life, but have I not sent you? Sometimes we just see the problem and we see fear and we forget that God has sent us. And, you know, last week was a historic day at Edge Church. This place was filled up. We had a massive amount of people, and I'll tell you a little bit more later. But I've been telling you, it was unbelievable. You want to talk about an adrenaline rush. It was fantastic. It was off the hook kind of day. But it was less than 5 years ago that we were meeting in my living room with five people. That's how Edge Church started. If you're new here, you may not know all that. Just a handful of people, five people. And there's been some days where it's been really hard to be a part of Edge Church. It's been discouraging. I mean, there's been some tough Sundays. I remember one Sunday when all the lights went out in the building and while I was preaching in the dark, you know. I mean, there's been some hard times. But you know, the thing that I always come back to is I asked myself the question that Gideon was asked by the angel of the Lord, am I not sending you? Ryan, did God not send you to start Edge Church? And it always brings comfort and it always brings strength to me to be reminded of the fact that this wasn't really my idea in the first place. This was his idea. I never imagined I would be a pastor in Colorado, and yet God sent me to do that. And listen, when all hell is breaking loose and you don't know what to do and your problems seem to get bigger by the day, go back to the fact that God is with you and God is sending you. You can overcome any problem if you begin to focus your mind and your attention on those things. And Gideon wants to blame others. He wants to blame God and blame other people for what's going on. But the reality was the Israelites got into this problem themselves because they never did what God told them to do in the first place. And now they're worshiping Baal and they're worshiping all these other pagan deities. And they've basically integrated themselves into the culture of the Canaanites. And they wonder, why do we have a problem? You know, when our problems get big, it's always easier to blame other people than it is to take personal responsibility, isn't it? To say, you know what, maybe I could do a little bit better, or maybe I could make some changes in my life. And the angel of the Lord just pushes back and just says, you know what, am I not sending you? I mean, I'm sending you. And by the way, you're a mighty warrior. And by the way, God is with you. And Gideon, it's time to get it in gear. You've been standing around feeling sorry for yourself, and you've been feeling sorry for yourself, and no wonder you've been the bottom of a wine press because you've been having this pity party, and it's time to get up out of that. It's time to start seeing yourself differently, and it's time to start understanding that it's not about your past and it's not about your problems, but it's about what God's about to do. You be faithful in the little things in your life, and God will bless you with so much more. And so what does Gideon do? He gets up and he builds an altar. First thing he does, he builds an altar. He worships God. He worships God. Why is that so important? Because listen, if you're going to overcome the problems, and for Gideon it was a battle, but if you're going to overcome problems in your life, you have to worship the Lord. Because when you get into the presence of God, God will strengthen you and encourage you and remind you of his promises. That's why reading the scripture, that's why praying, that's why spending time with God is so important in the Christian experience, because that's where you get your power. That's where you get your confidence. That's where you get that word of encouragement that's going to keep you focused on the day. And so what does Gideon do? He builds an altar, and there he worships God to find strength because he's going to need it. He's about to take on an army of 135,000 people, way, 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 way bigger than the army that he's got. See, some of you are facing some huge challenges. And when you begin to feel sucked dry and you don't have the emotional or spiritual energy to go on, you need to get alone with God. Because in that time with God, God will revive you and resuscitate you. And so Gideon worships the Lord. So he builds something, but he tears something else down. And if you read the passage, and I don't have time to go through all this morning, but in Judges 6 and 7, Gideon builds an altar to the Lord and worships, and then he tears down the altar to Baal in his community that was owned by his father. Did you know sometimes when you begin to follow the Lord, you have to go against the current of the people that you love so much? There are times. Sometimes it's our own family. And Gideon did it at night. He was so afraid. He was like, okay, God, I'll do it, but I'll do it at nighttime. You know, God's testing him. God's saying, okay, Gideon, now listen, how can you lead an army into battle if you can't tear down an altar? If you can't do the little things in your life, how are you going to do the big things? So Gideon, he builds something and he tears something down. And I want to tell you today, if you're going to succeed in overcoming fear, you got to build an altar, the place of worship in your life, and you've got to tear down some old thought patterns and some old habits and some old mentalities and maybe some old relationships. You got to begin to tear some of those things down so that God can begin to build you up. So God sees possibilities, not problems. The third thing is we see here is that God sees power, not his people. Not people. God sees power, not people. Now we are so afraid of people in our lives. You know, people are one of the greatest fears that we have. What will they think? What will she say? How will he feel about this? And many times in life, we don't do what we know we need to do because we're just simply afraid of the opinions of others, other people. Maybe you struggle with telling white lies, you know, from time to time because you just don't want to disappoint anybody. You don't want anybody to be mad at you. You don't want to upset any situation. The proverb says this, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Now Gideon's about to do something huge. Gideon is going against the Midianites. He had to get over what the Midianites thought about him. They saw him as an ant. And now he's raising up an army to take him on. Look at this in Judges 7, 7 and 8. The Lord said to Gideon, with 300 men that lapped, I will save you and the Midianites into your hands and let all the others go home. And so Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but he kept 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. So Gideon's starting with this army, okay? The angel said, you're a mighty warrior. Gideon gets a little army together. The Midianites have 135,000 soldiers, okay? Big army. What does Gideon have? Gideon's got the runt army of 32,000. And God tells him in the beginning of chapter 7, go to the folks, go to the army, and tell them if they're afraid, they can just leave. And 10,000 people walked. Whoa. Talk about discouraging, right? I mean, we already had a ratio of 4 to 1, and now thousands just left. God, it's not getting any better. You know, I thought I was a mighty warrior. You know, I'm back to where I was before. Then God says, go down to the river and drink. Have the entire army drink. Right after that, he says, all the dog lappers. Okay, I don't know why God chose to do this, but he did. The ones that drank the water like dogs, like, you know, licking it up off the river. Keep those guys. That's 300. Send everybody else home. The others that scoop the water up, you know, he said, no, we don't need those guys. So now the army is down to 300, and the 300 are going to defeat the 135,000. The odds for all you mathematical people, 450 to 1. That's not good, is it? God says, let's just make this a little more complicated, okay? I know you only got 300, but Gideon, I don't want you to use any weapons in the battle, okay? I need you to take a clay pot, I need you to take a torch and a trumpet, and at the appropriate time, I need you to blast the trumpet, I need you to shout out for the Lord and Gideon, I need you to crash the clay pot, and I need you to bust out the lantern. And that's how you're going to fight the battle. Well, God, could we at least have some Swiss Army knives, you know? I mean, just for backup. And the Lord says, no. So the army is totally overwhelmed, undersized, and they have no weapons, okay? This is a great place for God to show up. How many of you know, sometimes you get in situations in your life, and if God doesn't show up, there are no other answers. There's no other alternatives. And nobody else can get the credit for it, okay, other than the Lord. And this is exactly what's going on. There's great confusion in the camp of Midian. The Midianites all turn on each other in the midst of this confusion. The trumpets are blasting. The torches are held high. They're screaming. And the people get crazy and they all kill each other. And it's a great win and a great victory for Gideon. Maybe God knew what he was talking about when he sent the angel of the Lord to say, Gideon, you're a mighty warrior. You're a mighty warrior. God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. But we have to get over, what people think. We have to get over how big we think our problems are, and we have to understand that God works in our lives in spite of our past, in spite of our past. And when we begin to see that, we begin to overcome the fear. I love this whole outlook on the life of Gideon, because in each situation, the Lord gives a word to Gideon for each problem. The first is this, God, what about my past? I'm from the least of the tribe of Manasseh. I'm the youngest of my family. God says, I'm with you. And then Gideon says, I got some problems, right? The army's too big, and I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, we've been beaten up on. We're the 98-pound weaklings around here, you know, God. And God says, am I not sending you? And then at the end, Gideon's trying to gather this army, and he's afraid about what the Midianites are going to think of him. And God says, I will save you. I will save you. And each time God gives him a promise, exactly what he needs to know to deal with that exact problem. I don't know where you're afraid or where your fears are today. Maybe it's your family, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your future, maybe it's been whatever else that it may be. But I want you to know we serve a great, great God. And if we will serve him and worship him with all of our hearts, then God will give us the courage that we need to continue to fight another day. Do you know that? Sometimes we think that people that live courageous lives are people that just don't have fear. Do you know it's actually the opposite? Everybody has fear in their life, but people that are courageous learn to fight in the middle of their fear. I don't think Gideon ever got to the point where he was like, you know what, I'm just not intimidated. You know, I feel great about an army of 300 with no weapons. This is going to be fantastic, you know. I think there was still kind of a gnawing feeling in his gut where he was like, man, did I get this right? You know, maybe you ask yourself that question sometimes. That's okay. But listen, you be afraid and you do it anyway. You be afraid and follow what God has said in your life, and you'll be a person of courage. Don't worry about what other people say. Listen, some of you, you got to color outside the faith tradition of your family. Some of you are here today and your family's like, man, you're like a weirdo. You're like over there at Edge Church on Sunday, you know, giving offerings. I mean, what's wrong with you, you know? We don't do that kind of stuff. And you got to get over that. You got to get over that in your life to accomplish what God has said to you. Let's learn to live with the fear of God rather than the fear of people. Because the fear of God is not trepidation and shaking in our boots and you know, being consumed with that spirit of fear that I talked about earlier. The fear of God is reverence. It's respect. And we need to have more respect and reverence for God than we do our problems, our past, and other people. When we begin to do that, we will be people that live life with courage.